You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
All right, I'm all excited. It's time for some 406 in. And here we're going to go to Southwest Montana. All right? Why not?
Huh?
We've done this series, and we're continuing it across Montana. We've got six distinctive tourism regions. We're going to head over to Lincoln. We're going to head over to Townsend. We're going to head over to Dillon. There's nine counties, I believe, in this area. Pretty cool. All across Montana. It's very cool. I hope you love the state as much as we do around here. Anyway, so we're visiting, and it'll be Sculptures in the Wild, the Townsend Fall Fest, Dillon History Days. A lot to cover, 406 in today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio, from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
And I'm ready for a weekend. How about you guys? Hung in there those five long days, sometimes it's more. And sometimes the days turn into nights, and I know how it is. But we get that Montana weekend to hang out in. So hopefully everything is working out fine. Everything is just working out just fine. Anyway, thanks for being here. Two decades strong, working on three. That is Montana's objective perspective, Voices of Montana. Proud to be your host here, too. And thank you so much for making us a part of your Montana mornings. Yeah, I've been enjoying this series. I hope you are, too. I'm calling it 406 in. Because I just love to do that around the state. And we visited southwestern Montana. We visited, not yet, pardon me, we're doing that today. Glacier Country, we did Yellowstone Country. We did a little bit of southeastern Montana. We did central Montana. We're going to head up to the High Line here in northeastern Montana at some point in the future. But let's get over to southwest Montana. As I mentioned, Dillon, there's a lot of history in that area there. And just a ton of fun, too. Of course, it's a great scenic area. A lot of outfitting going on in that area. Rebecca Jones is going to be with us a bit later on with the Dillon Chamber of Commerce there and agriculture. Okay, it's not just the Chamber of Commerce. It's the Chamber of Commerce and Agriculture, which is really cool because there's a lot of that going on in that area, too. Ross Johnson with Townsend Fall Fest. This is just a huge festival going on in the fall. But as I looked at their website, too, they got a ton of stuff going on in Broadwater County throughout this summer, too. And then I think you'll enjoy this. Becky Garland with Sculptures in the Wild in Lincoln. And what is that? Well, it's kind of just like it sounds. It's sculptures out there in the wild. It's a pretty good program, pretty well put together, so we'll talk about that a bit later on. First, let's welcome Sarah Bannon, Executive Director of Visit Southwest Montana, and that is southwestmt.com. Good morning, Sarah. How's it going?
Good morning, Tom, and everybody. Thanks for having Southwest Montana today.
Oh,
we're excited to be with you.
Thanks for being Southwest Montana.
Yeah,
I know it doesn't make
sense.
We love
being Southwest Montana.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Way to pick up on that.
So,
since you're Southwest Montana, who is what is Southwest Montana?
Okay, so you know, as you know, the region's divided into six regions, and we're considered Southwest Montana. We're pretty much in between Glacier Country and Yellowstone Country. And we feel like we are just full of all the history and all these fun attractions right in between the two national parks. We feel we have lots of blue ribbon fishing streams, and trout fishing is huge. We also have even some walleye fishing, like in Hauser Lake and Canyon Ferry, and we have ice fishing there, as well as in Georgetown Lake. Georgetown Lake is our beautiful little lake nestled in the mountains. And so we have lots of things, lots of hiking, lots of outdoor activities, and we have a lot of geological things, you know, like the hot springs, the Lewis and Clark Caverns. So we are pretty excited about all the different things this region has to offer.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff there. How has the tourism been this year? I know in a lot of places it's They're just killing it.
Yes, here as well. And people are loving the outdoors. You know, we have a lot of the hiking and the ghost towns. Our campgrounds are filled, and a lot of our motels are doing very, very well. People are out with outfitters, the fishing, and now the streams are starting to drop a bit, but there's still, you know, people are out fishing. So we'll see how things go, but tourism has been doing very well in the region.
What do people, I know there's a lot of variety there. Do you get people who come from Montana, who come from all over? Do they contact you from the East Coast and the West Coast to kind of find out? Or do they search and have an idea of where they want to go?
We have a mixture. People will respond to some of our social media, or like we do an ad in, you know, the Yellowstone Journal. So we get people both from Montana who, you know, are interested in, for instance, digging for the sapphires over in the Phillipsburg area. And we have ghost towns, which are of great interest to people. Virginia City, which is really an active ghost town, and they have a little trolley there going from Nevada City to Virginia City as well. They have the Music Hall, which has just a phenomenal collection of music, organs, pipe organs, of all these old, fun little, where you go in and you could put in a quarter and it plays all these, this whole, almost like circus carnival music. It's just, that is just a real secret that people are just astounded when they get into that. And then we have a lot of living history going on there. Bannock will have living history there. That's a huge attraction. So people come, whether it's from all over the country or even Montana, people are quite interested and like to come back for things. We also have, like, crystal digging over, you know, near Wise River and Wisdom. So, and, of course, hot springs are always a fun thing to go to.
So, a lot of people are familiar with the area, too, for the rivers and the outfitting. Well, I talked to an outfitter just yesterday, as a matter of fact, and couldn't get him on the air today just because he's just busy, real busy this time of year. But he says his schedule might be loosening up a little bit here. So that's upcoming.
Like in September, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yes, our outfitters are really busy taking people horseback riding and, camp out, cookouts. And along with our fishing guides. So, yes, our fishing up. Yes, things have been really active in Montana all over.
Now, Virginia City is a really cool place. You know, if you're going to go visit a ghost town, Bannock is one of the best. But I think there's a lot of great ghost towns in Montana. But Bannock's pretty cool.
There really are.
We'll talk a little bit more about that later on with Rebecca Jones, who's going to be joining us, too. So we'll get into that. But right now, what do you know about this Sculptures in the Wild thing?
Oh, it's a fantastic place, one-of-a-kind place. These huge outdoor sculptures made with, you know, materials from the area. And they're huge, and they all represent something. And so you can walk through this place, through these trails, and have these great big artistic displays. And so it's art right out there in nature. It is just something fantastic. And they have been growing their visitation just quite a bit every year. And it's free. You just go and you walk around. Some you kind of walk through. Some you stand and look at and you wonder, how, you know, what was the inspiration for this? And there are quite a few, and they add every year. They add events, musical events at times. So, and Becky will let you know what events are happening now.
But Becky Garland, board president of Sculptures in the Wild. She's on the line. Becky, I didn't even know about this. This is a really, really cool thing going on there in Lincoln, Montana.
Well, where have you been if you haven't been to Sculpture in the Wild?
I know. And I lived in the Missoula area, and I got friends in Lincoln. Of course, I left that area in, like, 2015, and you guys kind of got going in just about 2014, right?
That's correct, yes. Yes.
Well, tell me what you got going there. I mean, you got a good website. People should go to it, Sculpture in the Wild, BlackfootPathways.com.
Yep.
And it's just super cool. Talk about how this what it is and how it came about.
Well, so if you're sitting at your desk, I have an office here in Lincoln. If you're sitting at your desk and an Irishman and a cowboy from Lincoln, the Irishman is from Tullamore, Ireland, and the cowboy from Lincoln come and say, we have this idea for a sculpture park in Lincoln and we want you involved. What in the heck would you say to these two people? And there was no way I could say no, I won't be involved. And that was in late 2012. 18 months later, with a lot of work and a lot of time invested from people from all over the valley, this amazing collaboration of folks with their equipment, their money, their time, our volunteers, in 18 months later, in the fall of 2014, we have this beautiful art symposium of five artists from all over the world installing these beautiful, beautiful pieces of art that is their interpretation of the cultural and history of Lincoln and the Upper Blackfoot River Valley.
Talk about what some of these sculptures are, because when you're doing sculptures in the wild, I think almost anything goes, and you also have a pretty big canvas, don't you?
It's a huge canvas. It's a 25-acre piece of property just east of Lincoln. I'm sitting here right now looking at House of Sky by Alan Cunahan from Southern Ireland. And so what these artists do, they pick up the history, they read about the history, they read books, they read poems, they read things that really are pertinent. So House of Sky is because Alan read, of course, Ivan Doig's book, This House of Sky. He read River Runs Through It, and he read Badlands. And here's this beautiful piece of work, a house that's brushed stainless steel, on posts that are about 20 feet tall, and it's this beautiful, uninhabitable house that reflects stars and skies and sun. And it's his interpretation, even before he got to Lincoln, that this is what it looked like. It was just a reflection of a beautiful world. There's 30,000 pounds of newspaper by artist Stephen Siegel from New York that is called Hill and Valley. And it took 18, sometimes up to 18 volunteers to help him put this beautiful sculpture together that looks like a rock outcropping, or it looks like, it just looks like this beautiful mountainside. It's just lovely. And then the other thing we brought in, and I think it was the kicker for Kevin O'Dwyer, our artistic director from Tullamore, Ireland, when he saw the old Delaney sawmill teepee burner sitting derelict on the Lander's Fork of the Blackfoot. He just went, that's our icon.
All right,
so we have this beautiful iron.
Stand by, Becky. I want to have you finish that story. And then tell us more about what happens when an Irishman and a cowboy walk into a bar. We're back with more Southwest Montana here on Voices. Got a text message here, and you can always text us 781-627-5483. You can give us a call, too. It's 866-627-5483. Tom Schultz here on Voices of Montana. Sculpture in the Wild looks awesome! ! On the website right now. Wow! ! Impressive! ! We're talking about that with Becky Garland, board president of Sculptures in the Wild. And Sarah Bannon is also with us, executive director of Visit Southwest Montana. So we already got people going to the website, Becky. And when I got there, it was really cool, too. But you have to finish the story about the what you call the centerpiece.
OK.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So the Delaney Sawmill
And I grew up in Lincoln. So, of course, logging was a big part of the economy for many, many years. And in the 60s, we had the Delaney Sawmill that was on the Landers Fork of the Blackfoot. And how they got rid of all the refuge from the cut materials for the Dimension Lumber was putting it in this large metal teepee burners with baffles all around the bottom, and it would just burn hot all the time. And many people from the northwest of the United States have seen them. They burn hot 24/7 just getting rid of things. So those were shut down. Logging kind of went away in our area, and this teepee burner sat derelict for many, 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 many years. The cowboy and the Irishman were driving around Lincoln, Montana, and the Irishman, Kevin O'Dwyer, our artistic director, saw that, and he went, "Oh, my God, that's our icon." So, again, volunteers brought that large teepee burner to this site that we have just east of Lincoln. We gave it a new purpose. We gave it new footings. We give it music every Saturday night this summer at 7 o'clock. We give it, we have pictures of the Blackfoot sawmills and the workers in all of the Blackfoot large images that are in the teepee burner. So when you, and it lights up at night, we have a solar system that makes it look like it's burning. It's orange. It's beautiful. To date, we have 18 large pieces, installations here from people, folks from Finland and Norway and Pennsylvania and, I just go all over the world, Denmark.
Also, Irish, Northern Cheyenne Nation, Bentley Spang.
And the Northern Cheyenne. And Bentley Spang, he was due to be here this fall. We're just having an artist in residency again this fall. He has had to sign off until next summer.
Okay.
He just has so much going on, but we have Michael Brawley coming from Pennsylvania this fall. Kevin O'Dwyer will be here, our artistic director, for a month. We have Beth Korth, who is an education coordinator at Tippett Rise. She will be our emerging artist here this summer, this fall.
Becky, talk about those programs a little bit, because as you say, artist in residency, and so they come in and then they absorb the area a little bit and then get inspired and build something. That's what they're paid to do. Yes. And then you've got a burgeoning artist program as well.
Yeah, we have an emerging artist program, and Beth Korth is from the University of Montana, and she's been working with Tippett Rise now for a few years, and she's done our education program here. So just to back up a little bit, in September is when we have the artists in residency. And the artists either do a site visit early in the year so they can absorb Lincoln and its history, or we help them with all sorts of information, and they come about a week early. They already have something in mind. They give us a list of materials that they need, and they have 3 weeks to perform and build their work. During this time, they go out into the community. They talk to the school. We have evening visits at the library so they can, so the town of Lincoln and others can get to know these great artists from all over the world. And we play horseshoes and have pool tournaments, you know, whatever Lincoln wants to do to get to know these people. They come out in force and they say, come and play. The volunteers, of course, house them. And also they come and help build, because these are such large pieces. We do need volunteers, and our success is the volunteers that come. We're privately funded for the most part. We have won several awards, the Governor's Art Award last year. We've won Reimagining the Teepee Burner from the Lewis and Clark Historical I think it's Shippo. I know it's not that. I can't remember which one that is. And then an award from Montana's Commerce, our tourism award. And also, and so with that, Southwest Montana, through their program, helps us with brochures and signage and getting the word out of Sculpture in the Wild. Last year during COVID, we saw 52,000 people.
Wow. I was just going to ask, how many people
in the wild?
How many people? And that's a lot. And that was during the pandemic. So
yes,
what's it look like this year, real quickly?
This year we're going to be right at about 40 to 45,000 people.
Cool. That's a lot of folks. And that's, you know, that's a lot of tourism money in that area too. So
yes, it's wonderful. And we can't thank Montana, Department of Commerce enough and the tourism department enough for helping us and seeing the value in this.
Well, it's delightful. Yes.
I'm going to come visit.
I'm going to come visit one of these days. I think folks should. How long does it take to roll through all the art there?
It's about an hour.
Yeah. Cool. That'd be
great. Wouldn't want to do it in anything less. There's artist panels. There's brochures that show you around. So you just have to meander and peek through the woods, and you'll see them, and they will invite you right straight to them.
Sculpture in the Wild. That's really cool. Sculptureinthewild.com for more information. Becky Garland, board president there. Sarah Bann is also still with us, executive director of Visit
Montana. Yes, you're welcome. Thank you, Becky.
Yeah. Becky, we'll be catching up with you, okay?
I might do more.
Might talk to your some of your artists on the air here down the road, okay? So
that would be wonderful.
Yep, it'll be cool. Ross Johnson is standing by. We're going to head over to Townsend next. First, let's grab some headlines with Brian Bennett. 4:06 in across Montana. Welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz. Sarah Bannon, as I mentioned, still with us. She's the executive director of Visit Southwest Montana and SouthwestMT.com for information there. Let's go over to Townsend. Ross Johnson now. We'll talk about the Townsend Fall Fest. That's coming up the first weekend in October. But there's also a ton of things that you got going on in Broadwater County. Good morning, Ross. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Hanging right in there. You with Sarah and Tom? Well, this will be kind of a short segment, but we have more time to talk on the other side about a ton of events that I see that you guys are involved in that area. But let's go to the Fall Fest. It's a big 3-day shindig in the first weekend of October. What's it all about?
Well, it's just about celebrating the fall, and we bring in about 110 to 120 vendors. A number of bands every night. There's all day long, there's music. And it brings in probably to anywhere from 12,000 people or more.
Wow.
Along with that, there's a car show that we have on the Main Street on Sunday, the last day of Fall Fest. And that has brought in as many as 300 cars at it. During the year, and other years less than that. It just depends on the weather on the car shows.
Is it officially the first weekend in October?
Yes, it'll be October 1st. Starts on a Friday afternoon after 5 o'clock, and then it's Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday.
3 days of music and vendors a little bit of storytelling, too, I suppose?
Yeah, well, there's probably not so much storytelling, but there is a few other events, such as Stein lifting events and stuff like that. They hold the Stein out in front, and whoever can hold it out there, full of beer, who can hold it out there for the longest wins the Stein, I think, and probably gets to drink the beer. We have a few things like that, and and it's also geared towards kids. We have kids from our school come in, and they sing and dance and do things like that. So there's a whole host of activities that you can all during the day that you can attend, and then of course they serve the Bob's famous brats all day long, and of course there's a beer garden with wine and beer.
I was going to mention the famous brats there. Yes, they are something to really need to go even just for that. They're pretty famous.
I would go even just for that. I would. Ross, stand by. I want to get more of this, and Sarah as well, as we are 4:06 and across Southwest Montana. I know as I look here, you've got some theater going on. You've got some some painting of some murals being built in Townsend. So we're back with more Ross Johnson, Sarah Bannon, just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years.
Thanks for listening. We're going to head over to Dillon here real soon and talk with Rebecca Jones, Executive Director of the Beaverhead Chamber of Commerce and Agriculture. And you look at this weekend, man. They've got the Territorial Rodeo going on. They've got Dillon History Days. They're going to throw in a Little League State Tournament. So we're onto that here in just a little bit. Sarah Bannon, Executive Director of Visit Southwest Montana here as well, as we are 406 and across Southwest Montana. And Ross Johnson, still on the line, Director of Missouri Valley Marketing there in Townsend, and Executive Board Member for Southwest Montana Tourism. And you can find out more, MissouriValleyMarketing.org, to figure out, find out more about some of these events. Sarah, I wanted to ask you a question. You know, as Executive Director of Southwest Montana, before we get back to Ross and the Steinholding contest, how do these events all play together, you know, in terms of what's going on in Dillon and what's going on in Townsend? It's got to be sort of exciting to see them grow to like Ross's event. 12,000 people will come in for this.
Yeah, they have just done a phenomenal job at growing that, and they've created quite a reputation, as has Dillon with their events. And this new event coming up, I'm sure she'll continue with the new, we have Art in the Park and in Anaconda. All these places have built a reputation, and so people are real familiar, and they do make plans to go to these. They are never disappointed.
Townsend Fall Fest, the first weekend in October, and Ross, I got to go back to the Steinholding contest. Maybe that's just a personal interest of mine. Love steins. How big are these steins? How long can somebody hold a stein full of beer until they get thirsty or tired?
Well, I would say that some of them hold them for close to 5 minutes, and they're pretty good sized steins. I suppose they hold 18 ounces of beer. So they're the decorative stein, so they're pretty heavy, and I don't know exactly last year, of course, we didn't have it with COVID, mm-hmm. and so this is we're coming back with it this year because of and hopefully it'll be a bigger and better deal, we get quite a few people in it. I don't know, last year I think the year before we had probably 25 or 30 people in it between men and women.
Wow. I would be in it just so I could hold my stein out for like 5 seconds and then go, okay, free beer, glug, glug, glug.
Yeah.
But you also have a special brew that you do for this too, right?
Yeah, each year that they have it, and I don't know I haven't heard which one is going to be this year, but they'll get a special brew that comes in a wooden keg and they'll tap it and at the Steinholding, and then we'll serve beer to the crowd, free beer.
So it's it comes from breweries across Montana, or
usually one year, some years we've had people with a German beer that are beer master of from over in Germany, mm-hmm. came over and he helped us tap the keg and everything. So we have had some international help with that, but most of the time it's we work with Leerkind is who we work with, and they generally are able to find us some sort of a different beer out there.
Well, it's a huge event. Again, it's October, first weekend in October, the Townsend Fall Fest. But quickly, you've got some things going on in Townsend. You've got the rodeo kicking off, I think. It's going to be early August. I saw on the website there, too, and you guys can visit, as I mentioned, MissouriValleyMarketing.com. You guys have theater is back and the lodge in Townsend, and also muralist Sophie Mathis. You've got photos on your website about the progress that she is making day to day on a big mural there.
Yes, and she finished the one that was on the new distillery that's coming to town, and it's pretty interesting. It's a pretty neat mural. If you're coming through Townsend, turn off on Broadway and go down that street, and you'll see it right away. She's a very talented young lady. You know, it's when you go back to many things going on in Townsend, it's amazing when you don't realize that even me living here, when you start asking people what's going on, how much stuff is going on, we may not have the best method of getting that information out to people, but there's certainly from theater, community theater, to Shakespeare in the Park, Canton Church, which is a historical Catholic church, has events going on this year, from musical to our lady that's in charge of our museum is doing a murders in Broadwater County, which might be kind of interesting in a church, but but anyway, she's going to do that, and there have been in the past history murders in Broadwater County, of course.
On that cheery note, no, just kidding. There is really a lot of cool stuff going on, and I appreciate that. And I know, you know, Townsend is one of those places where people have to stop driving by. Bozeman to Helena, there's a lot of business going on between those two communities. And people do stop, and they'll fish, and then they'll discover these things. It's really cool. Right. I'm glad I looked. I'm glad you were on, Ross. Thank you so much for being here.
Can I ask one more thing? Is that be sure if you're coming through Townsend, stop at our glass blowing place. There's not a lot of places in Montana that have glass blowing. It's right on the main drag coming from Helena to the Three Forks, and it's definitely a must stop. And I know Sarah went to it, and she would say the same.
I go there every time I'm in Townsend. Yes, the glass blowing and some beautiful ornaments out there. Yeah, I've just love that place. And you can watch them in action while you're there.
Yes.
That would be cool. What's it called?
Glass blowing. That's what they call it.
Okay.
Right on the main.
Gotcha.
Main blowing. Their main drag. And definitely stop there because they'll put on a demonstration sometimes and they'll blow it while you're there. And you can see them develop these bases and pitchers and whatever.
Yeah, that is cool stuff. Ross, thank you so much.
You betcha. Thank you.
Speaking of things going on.
Thanks, Ross.
Speaking of things going on, Rebecca Jones, your head must be spinning. Executive Director, Beaverhead Chamber of Commerce and Agriculture, the Dillon Visitor Center joining us now. I looked at the lineup for this weekend. How are you managing all? You got the rodeo, you got Dillon History Days, you're going to throw on a Little League tournament on top of that. What is going on?
Well, you know, we have special powers here in Dillon, Montana.
I know it.
So, but no, seriously, we've got a terrific team. And actually, the Dillon History Days is being put on by the city of Dillon. So there are just a great team of people. You know, the Beaverhead County Museum, it has a new executive director. And it's just, we've got a great team of people. Everybody's working together. All boats rise with a rising tide. And that's what we're hoping to do here in Dillon, Montana this year.
True enough. What is this? It says first annual territorial rodeo going on this weekend.
Yes, this is the first annual territorial rodeo. So it is actually five senior pro rodeos, which are sanctioned with the Senior Pro Rodeo Association. And then it also, in conjunction with that, we're doing two open rodeos. So tonight, Friday night, and Saturday night is the big double bang. You know, it's the open rodeo and the senior pro rodeo. So we're going to have rough stock, we're going to have bulls, broncs. And we also have the Buddy Barrel Pickup Race and the Ladies Triathlon, which are always big draws for people to participate. And then also we have the World Champion Flamingo Race, which is going to be pretty funny to see flamingos in Dillon racing.
No, seriously, what?
They're going to be.
Pink flamingos?
Well, they're going to be inflatable costumes that people will put on and then get to run around an arena of, you know, 10-inch deep dirt. So should be a lot of fun to watch.
Sarah Bannon, you must want pictures of that.
I do want pictures of that. That whole weekend, there's going to be great things. But the flamingos, that takes the cake, yes.
Right,
that's,
I know, and there's
a
there's
lot of fun.
Well, obviously, and it makes a lot of sense because you know there's just pink flamingos all over that town.
Well, you know, Dillon is kind of the banana belt of Montana. We don't get as cold, we don't get as hot in the various seasons, and so yeah, this is a great place for flamingos to race.
Talk about the history, Rebecca. I know I've gone there to Bannock and to Virginia City and those areas, and I love Dillon for that matter. You know, Western Montana College is a very quaint and historic part of that community too. But Dillon History Days, talk about that, you know, from when it began to where it is now, and it must be a real source of pride for the entire area.
Oh, it sure is. It's actually the second annual Dillon History Days that, and the city sort of took this on, or maybe it was 2 years ago. I'm not sure because of COVID. I'm not quite sure of the schedule, but it's called the Changing West, and it's really focusing on what Dillon was looking like between the 1900s and 1930. So it's really what we've got kind of stepping back in time. We're doing a teddy bear picnic, and that's kind of a nod to the Theodore Roosevelt, you know, who got started with the teddy bear. So we're doing a teddy bear picnic in the park here in JC Park at 2 o'clock today. We have multiple great exhibits at the Beaverhead County Museum. We've got a geology and mining speaker. We have today and then tomorrow we have some more speakers. We've got Dr. Logie is going to be talking about indigenous peoples of the Southwest Montana area. So we've got a lot of really great historical things happening. We've got a packing demonstration where they will pack mules and things, because back in the early 1900s, that's what they had to do. So they have a packing demonstration that's going to be taking place. So and then also we have some real fun things on Saturday. We've got the Blow and Smoke barbecue cook-off. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we also have a car show. We have the bookstore in town is doing a great feature of some historical things. And then we also have an art walk this evening. And then we've got a concert. We've got a couple concerts going on this weekend. We've got a concert tonight in the street at Max Last Cast. And then tomorrow night we have another concert in the street. But then we also have Sam Platts and the Plainsmen at Frontier Event Center after the rodeo. So and then we got the rodeo both nights.
Wow.
So I think we have a lot to go for everybody. If you want to come to Dillon, we probably find something for you to do.
I know. It sounds like a lot of fun. Stand by, because I want to talk about the Big Hole Battlefield and maybe a little more about Bannock and some of the history in that area. And as we are 406 and across Montana, here's the average temperature, January 21 degrees, July 66 degrees. Yes, the banana belt of Montana. Back with more in a bit. On Monday, sure, we're going to be talking with Marco Manukian. He's the Phillips County Extension agent. We've been talking over the course of this last year about the St. Mary's Diversion, very important agricultural product, a project up there along the High Line. It is very much aged, and they're looking at repairing it. There might be some money in this new infrastructure bill. If there is, where is that going to go? Marco's going to be on Monday to talk about that. Tom Schultz back here at Voices of Montana. Don't forget our tow rope tour, August 2nd in Libby. Go to the website, nominate your tow rope heroes. You'll be in the hat. Your name will be in the hat for one of those big, we've got this huge bad boy zero turn mower. It's one of those, you just want one of these if you've got a big lawn. Take part in that. It's Libby August 2nd and Kalispell the 3rd, and August 4th we'll be in Missoula to do our tow rope tour and the show live. We're here with Sarah Bannon from Visit Southwest Montana, southwestmt.com. Rebecca Jones as well, as we're 406 and now in Dillon, and she's the executive director of the Beaverhead Chamber of Commerce and Agriculture. So tell us the story, if you would, Rebecca, about the Big Hole and then the Big Hole Battlefield.
Yeah, sure. The Big Hole National Battlefield is an historic site located about 10 miles west of Wisdom, Montana. And it's where Chief Joseph and the Nez Perce were confronted or had a confrontation with the U.S. Cavalry under Colonel John Gibbon. And it happened back in August of 1877. And we just celebrated, that was Bannock, sorry. So out at the visitor center, out at the Big Hole Battlefield Historic Site, mm-hmm. we have walking tours. There's lots of great information about the Nez Perce and the confrontation that took place there. And then also lots of information of what happened after they lost and they migrated back. And just it's kind of a very somber, very wonderful way of recognizing you know, what took place there and the people, the Nez Perce people and how things transpired. So
yep.
It's really, if you haven't seen it, it is really wonderful to see. After I went through it and read through everything, it was like, it really does change your perspective on history and how the West was won. So I encourage everyone to go to the Big Hole Battlefield National Site and witness that here in Beaverhead County.
They have a nice video there that explains a lot of what's going on. And they also have this really good gift store. It's got all these great books. I've bought several books there. I just think that place is a place all of its own right over there. And the story it tells is phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree. You two must have like two of the best jobs in the world.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate that. You know, it's we're so proud. We love the state so much, and no matter where we are in Montana, there's just a lot of pride. Thank you, Rebecca Jones. Good luck this weekend. It's going to be busy there, isn't it?
Oh well, we have a lot going on in Dillon, and we welcome everyone.
Sarah Bannon, thank you too. Okay, appreciate that.
Yes, thank you very much. Yep. It's been a joy to be here with you.
We'll check in with you again too. Eric Young, thank you. You guys have a great weekend.